Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you this morning. Brother French wasn't feeling great today. It's great to have him here, but I will be bringing you a few thoughts this morning. I will say I have to leave right after, so I'm sorry I won't be able to stay and mingle with you, but I have to get to my other job. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians, the third chapter, this morning. Ephesians 3. Thank you, Colton. Great reading this morning. As always, you and Connor do a great job. I want to preach on something this morning that each and every one of us desperately need in our lives. I was thinking this morning, as Angel was giving the announcements, it is evident that as life continues on, and as we grow older in our lives, that our bodies wear down, and that we are faced with a lot of physical ailments and difficulties as we go through this life. You know, Angela at 42 is having some problems with her, I don't know, is it sciatic or something, so she's got to go to someone to see about that. And I was thinking that when I went through cancer and then COVID on top of that, that I could not walk from here to that chair. I couldn't make it. I had lost all of my strength, and it took a long time to build that strength up. And so just getting out the door and to the sidewalk, from our front door to the sidewalk, was a major effort. But my physical therapist, who came two or three times a week, man, he made me work. And I was exhausted when he got done. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I will ever get the strength to make it to where I can get back to a regular life. It took a long time for me to get around the block, but eventually I did. And then I could make it two blocks. And then it was amazing how going from two blocks I could make it for quite a little while. And eventually I was able to walk at a pretty good clip. And my wife was thankful because I couldn't walk the dog during that era, and so she had to walk that dog every day, and that dog's a major feat to walk, I can tell you. But let's look at Ephesians, the third chapter. Again, starting in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father from heaven, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Sorry.
So the subject I'd like to talk about is the need of getting strength in our lives. I think each and every one of us need to have strength. And specifically, as we talk here this morning, I know that as we look in our own physical lives, we say, well, our strength is diminishing. But one of the things that we can be assured of as we look in this passage is there is a strength that each and every individual needs in their life. And that strength is to have spiritual strength. And it is, we're just going to talk about 2 points this morning, really, and some of the results of those 2 points that I want to make this morning. And the first point is this, that if you are relying upon your own strength from a spiritual standpoint, you're never going to make it. The fact of the matter is that none of us have the strength from a spiritual standpoint to make it to the end. We need an outside influence in the inner man in order to have the strength that we need. And I think that Paul makes it evident that one of the things that he is bowing his knees before the Father for is in reference to what he had just told the Gentiles about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know we've had many lessons about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's really what it is all about. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the strength of God to bring salvation to every one of us. So I want to hone in on a couple of things. Paul prays that they might be strengthened in might. That is to have an inherent power residing in the very mind that we possess. And the way to have that strength is to have the Spirit of God living in our minds. And we're going to find that there really is only one way for that to take place. But I want to point out that you and I need the Spirit of God to dwell in our minds if we are going to accomplish what Paul has set out and is praying about for these brethren here. That he points out that they might be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The key to all of this, of having the Spirit dwell in the inner man, that is, have our minds worked and exercised by the Holy Spirit, that is accomplished when we get the Word of God dwelling in our minds. That is the means by which the Spirit is going to work in your life and to give you the strength that you need to be victorious in the battle that we face spiritually. And he points out, Christ dwells in our heart through faith. Now, Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 17, points out that there's one way that you and I can get faith. In fact, it's the only way that anyone can get the faith that would be able to give salvation to their soul. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're going to understand God's will and God's power and that which is able to give you strength, it's going to come from what God has revealed from His Word. And so you and I need the Word of God that we can walk by faith, and when we do that, we'll be rooted and grounded in something. We will be rooted and grounded in love. So, Christ dwells in your heart through faith. Now, what are we talking about when we talk about dwelling? What we're talking about when we talk about dwelling is something that resides in you to house permanently. And we're talking about housing permanently in our heart. So, we want to have Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. That is, he resides in us. He is housed permanently. And the place that he is housed is in our heart. And when we talk about our heart, we're not talking about this. We're talking about this. We're talking about our thoughts, our feelings, our will. And when we talk about faith, to have a conviction and an assurance and a reliance and a constancy. So, here's kind of the simplicity I see of how it works. We hear God's word, and that enters our mind, and we have a decision to make whether we're going to accept that or not. And it really has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, and all that that entails, that Christ came to this earth, he died upon the cross of Calvary, was buried, and he rose from the dead. And Paul points out the reason that that took place is all have sinned and come short of God's glory. And so there was a need in order to have salvation that had to take place. You didn't have the strength. Adam did not have the strength. And every man throughout history, none of them had the strength to save their own lives. It took Jesus Christ. It took the power of God to bring salvation to our souls. And so that thought enters into our lives, and we are convicted of that, just like they were convicted in Acts, the second chapter. And that, in turn, gives us, hopefully, I believe, the desire that we want more. And so this is what I'm seeing in God's word, that we have Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. And when that happens, we can be rooted and grounded in love. And that will give us the strength that we need to comprehend the height, depth, length, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So, if we rely upon the Spirit of God and his strength to dwell in us, and that is accomplished by walking by faith that Christ is dwelling in our hearts, may I say that what we have is Christ the Spirit and God the Father dwelling in us, in our hearts. And that is accomplished, again, by the Word of God living in our hearts. Isn't that what Jesus said? The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That is what we need. So Christ's effect on us as we, excuse me, as we read in verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love. You know, if you're rooted and grounded in something, well, I'll give you an example. When I lived in Susanville, you had to make sure that you cleared your lawn, or if you had acreage, clear your acreage because of fires, because it was a mountainous area. And so you, by law, had to make sure that you had a clear area so that if a fire broke out, it didn't have fuel to burn further. And it would be rather easy when you went out and you see a little weed, you just kind of pull it up. But there was a problem. There were some weeds that grew up so much that they were so big and grounded and rooted. You know what it took? A tractor. You had to get a tractor to pull it out. And so this is the idea that we become so rooted and grounded in Christ's love that we have great strength, and it's going to be so difficult to pull that. And we, as I pointed out, need to be grounded. You know, in Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you'll turn there, Matthew 7 and verses 24 through 27, I think many of us are familiar with this passage. Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat against that house. And guess what? It fell. And great was the fall of it." So you have to ask yourself, what are you building your house on? And what is it grounded upon? And I can assure you, if it's grounded upon Jesus Christ and rooted in Jesus Christ, then you are... your life is built on the one foundation that is eternal. All the other foundations in this world are temporary. And so we would be rooted in the love of Jesus Christ. And back in Ephesians, he points out that if this takes place, it gives us the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to point out to you in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, turn your Bibles to Hebrews 5. It's a passage we may often go to. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You know, last night, Angela and I and Jordan went to the symphony. And, you know, it was beautiful. They played the best of Beethoven. And it's just amazing to sit there and watch and listen to these professionals and the conductor up there conducting, and everything sounds just beautiful. And a few thoughts, I thought, wow, how beautiful our God is that we are able to listen and hear and see the beauty of music being made. And as we left, Jordan said something. He said, "Man, can you imagine the hours, thousands of hours that they have to practice just to get one song?" And I thought, you're right. It takes a lot of practice, doesn't it? And you know, when we talk about being able to comprehend the height, breadth, length of all that God offers, it takes practice. It takes practice of the mind to be able to discern. Trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You know, I'll just suggest for your consideration, if we don't study, if we don't learn from the things that God is giving us and learn to know God intimately, I can't imagine what that symphony would sound like. Not very good. You know, you think about someone just playing a violin. When you first start and they're a child, you know, it takes a lot of patience for the parent to sit there and listen to them try to learn how to play the violin. But you know how they learn? One, they have a good teacher. Someone comes in and teaches them, instructs them, shows them how to do it. And what you want is you want a professional. You want someone that's a master at it to teach. And Jesus is the master. He's the master teacher. But it takes time, doesn't it? And as that violinist learns and becomes good and then better and then accomplished and then a professional, you know what they continue to do? They continue to practice. They continue to play. Because if they stop, they start losing their edge, don't they? They start losing the ability to follow the conductor properly. And so that's what our life really is to learn and to be proficient in the things of God. And here's the promise that God has given us. If you look in 1 John the 5th chapter, verse 11, this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. God will give us his fullness if we are willing to practice and learn and cram those things into our mind. I said all of this because I'll just tell you, some days you wake up and you feel weak. Ever felt like that? Something just seems off. And I'm not talking about from a physical standpoint. Of course, if you have some physical ailments, you try and find a doctor and find a solution. And spiritually, Jesus Christ is the solution. And there's some days, and I mean, I experience them, that you just, as I said, need strength. I need strength. And this short lesson is about getting that strength. When we are down, it's time to open the Word of God and to realize that the strength that we are able to have is a heavenly strength. It's a strength that only God can provide your life. And so Paul continues on there in chapter 4, urging them to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then he goes on and talks about how you do it with humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, wanting to maintain the spirit and the bond of peace. And then he talks about the oneness. So like Paul, I just simply want to encourage you this morning. If you're feeling weak, God has the strength. In fact, God is the strength. And I would ask those of you this morning that have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, whose strength are you going to rely on in life? Jesus Christ is the one that came to give us life. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. Those people that are lost. Jesus gave an invitation that those that labor and are heavy laden, they can come to him and he will give them rest. Well, how is that accomplished? It's accomplished through what God said was the power of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So where do you stand this morning? Have you taken that opportunity, if you understand the gospel, to obey the gospel, to come to Jesus Christ in full belief, to repent, that is, change your mind of the direction that you're taking, not relying upon your own strength, but relying upon the strength that God only can provide, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and to be baptized, that is, to be buried, immersed in water, where you reach the blood of Christ, which Paul pointed out in Romans the sixth chapter, reaching that death of Jesus Christ. We want to give an invitation to those that maybe have not obeyed the gospel. If you don't understand all of the gospel, we would love the opportunity to study with you. And so to show you the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. If anyone's subject to the invitation, we ask you to come forward while we stand and sing.